With the Lord's help, I would direct your attention to the chapter that we read, the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 37, and a question and answer in the 17th verse. Jeremiah, chapter 37, and a question and answer in the 17th verse. Is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. Is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. The history which surrounds Jeremiah and other of the prophets makes sad reading, because through the medium of Jeremiah and Ezekiel and others, the word of the Lord, the counsel of God, was expressed but was not heeded. And therefore, much distress came upon many of the people of Israel and Judah. And this was all because of a complete rejection of a word from the Lord. This, of course, is not confined to the days of Jeremiah and carrying down into Egypt of the children of, carrying down into Babylon of the children of Israel. But it was it does continue to take place today. How many people have a design in their mind and they seek the Lord from it, for concerning it. They expect the Lord to say yes. But the Lord may sometimes say no. And then these people will say, I have no word from the Lord. God has spoken, yet they have rejected what God has said because it does not concur with their own feelings and desires. It may be that if we should cast our eyes over our own lives, we shall find an instance where we did not feel that there was a word from the Lord. But there was. And yet it was not heeded. There was, and our hearts were hardened, and the word was rejected. Now, where the fear of the Lord is, with your desire to hear what the Lord has to say and hope to follow that. But there are many that are not so governed by the grace of God, and yet they follow a profession of religion. So, is there any word from the Lord? This is not the first occasion that Zedekiah had inquired about the counsel of God. He did not accept. The counsel of God was rejected, not necessarily because he would not accept, but the fear of man brought a snare. And has God spoken to you? Relative to certain matters, and the fear of man has brought a snare, and you have therefore discredited the word of God which has been clearly set before you. Is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. We find Hezekiah saying on another occasion, good is the word of the Lord. And occasion, he was listening to the prophet speaking about the future, and the future had a very solemn prospect. And yet, intermingled with that counsel of God, that prophecy of God, and there was mercy to Hezekiah. And the fact that he had obtained mercy caused him to feel that the word was good. And these words cannot but fail to have an entry into all our spiritual experiences. Is there any word from the Lord? Now we take a different view, and that is, there is a fervent desire in our hearts to know what God has to say. Have we come to the house of God this morning desiring to know what God has to say? Certainly there are times when it is not easy to come to a decision about certain matters which strangely arise in our hearts, and God uses a very strange means sometimes. Not always is it a word from the Lord, but God sometimes speaks by actions. My mind goes back now to many years when our children were quite young, and a friend that worshipped with us in the chapel in London suddenly appeared on our doorstep. Well, we always welcomed him, but he said, well, I thought I upset you with something that I said yesterday, and I felt I must come and sort it out. He hadn't said anything to upset us, so he had nothing to sort out. But there was a purpose in his coming. Now, because in the course of a conversation, he referred to the Boy Scouts and the Girl Guides, and he didn't know, but we were wondering whether to allow one of our children to join one of those forces. But what he said, and he said it without knowing, surely it was a word from the Lord, made it very clear to us that we were not to proceed. And this, of course, is quite a different view of things. Is there any word from the Lord? God sent his messenger. That man was not a minister, but he was a messenger of God that evening. And so we saw what was the right thing to do, because he, quite unwittingly, highlighted some of the pitfalls. us. Now, is there any word from the Lord? It's some time ago now, so I can't readily remember the details. But were we looking for this word from the Lord to come, perhaps through the preaching of the gospel, perhaps through the reading of God's word, which we may say were usual courses? God sometimes takes an unusual course, and we can see that God has clearly spoken. We find some very telling words in the prophecy of Amos, where the prophet says, the Lord hath spoken. Shall we? The Lord hath spoken. Shall we not obey what he has said? I just can't light upon it. But it's in the book of Amos. And is there evil in the city? And the Lord hath not done it. So on. So the Lord hath spoken. Now, in order to give some order, as God may help, to these words, is there any word from the Lord? Well, very clearly, this word will tell us there is. Now, whatever your situation may be this morning, and it could be that there is no word that you think will ever be suitable. Again, my mind just quickly goes to one of my members when she joined the church some years ago. She referred to an incident on a Lord's Day morning when she was very much troubled and everything seemed to go wrong. And eventually she got late for chapel, she thought, there's nothing that I can ever expect to alleviate my situation or speak to me this morning. I'm too ruffled. She was late for the service. And the deacon got up and he gave a hymn out which fitted her case. I believe it was this hymn: compared with Christ in all beside, no comeliness I see. The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. And is it so that any of you have come this morning because you're turned upside down and you feel that there cannot be a word? But the word is to Christ. The word is to reveal, if ever my poor soul be saved, that is Christ must be the way. Is there any word from the Lord to meet the hopeless case, to meet the most distressing case, to meet the most rebellious case? Sometimes we think of a hymn which says, rebellious thou hast been, and art rebellious still. But since in love I took thee in, my promise I'll fulfill. I've bound thee up secure, midst all the rage of hell. The curse thou never shalt endure, for I'm unchangeable. Is there any word from the Lord to suit the downcast? There is counsel from God lift up the hands that hang down. There is encouragement from God when we read about the woman that was bowed over for, I think, 38 years. And she was healed on the Lord's Day. You may not necessarily have your back bent, but you might have been bowed down many years and could in no wise lift up yourself. Is this a word from the Lord to you? Will this be the day when God will touch your heart, will lift you out of yourself, will make your back straight? So then it will be a word that fits your case. I would judge from the reading of the scriptures that that person's physical condition was unusual. You didn't go down the street seeing ever so many women that were bowed over. And we certainly shan't see so many men and women that are bowed over because they're burdened with their sin. You'll see John Bunyan depicts his pilgrim as having a burden, and it was on his back. And of necessity, so to speak, he had to bow partly forward in order that this burden might rest upon his back. And what's more, he could not remove it from his back. Somehow or other, there was no possibility of him getting rid of it. Now, if your sins are on your back, and you are incapable of getting rid of them, is there any word from the Lord? Just two words. Follow me. And where did the Spirit of God take that poor pilgrim? He took him to the sepulchre. He took him to the cross of Christ. And there he saw that man. The cross was wonderful, but the man that hanged on it was much more wonderful, because here was salvation, here was desire satisfied. Any word. Mine's indeed a hopeless case, such it had been, but for grace. Now, to consider a few points relative to the word of the Lord. In contrast to man's word, it is stable. We live in very solemn days. As it were, at one time, an Englishman's word was his bond. And if he said he would do something and help you in one way or another, then he would perform it. Alas, it is not so today. And we may be very uncertain very often in our dealings with other people. But at the same time, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord will have in a person's heart the words of the Lord. We recall to mind Nehemiah, when he was promoted to his high office. The person that preceded him had been an oppressor, had taken more than he should have done from the people, and lived a life of luxury beyond what he should have done. When Nehemiah assumed the position and came to it, He said, that did not I, because of the fear of God. And that was a word from the Lord. Undoubtedly, God spoke into his conscience. We may sometimes say, when a thought comes into our mind, you cannot do that. This is not a word from the Lord, because it's not in the scripture. But is it the outcome of the fear of the Lord working in your heart so that you listen to this word? I cannot do that. The fear of the Lord prevents me from doing that. And so Nehemiah was a very different governor from the man that preceded him, and also the man that followed him. The word of the Lord, in the case of Nehemiah, was in his heart. It is good for us to read the word of God and to be familiar with the word of God. But let us remember what the psalmist says, Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So is there any word? It may be that God will speak a word, sometimes actually, sometimes by circumstances, sometimes from a most unexpected source, but we shall say, the Lord hath spoken. Who can but prophesy? Now let us look at the word of the Lord. So I've just strayed slightly from what I said a few moments ago. The word of man can never be trusted. Now you may say, oh, but this is terrible. Do you mean to say that what I say cannot be relied upon? There are certainly occasions when, with the best intentions, we have given our bonds, so to speak, that we will do this, we will do that, we will help. We cannot tell what will come tomorrow. And therefore, something may come tomorrow which will quite prevent our being able to carry out what we intended to do. Now, this, of course, is fair and above board. There was this willingness to do, and yet there was a failure to acknowledge our own possibility of weakness, or the possibility of circumstances arising which would completely prevent our doing that that we desired. But these things sometimes only serve to emphasize the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord, it shall come to pass. There are several instances in the Old Testament where we read, it shall come to pass. And following that, we have the word, and it came to pass. We cannot read a single instance in the scriptures where God said it shall come to pass, and it didn't. The words of the Lord are positive words, and they are words that cannot be overthrown. They are words which God will perform in the face of impossibilities. What a blessing to have that faith which laughs, and this is not a worldly laugh, at impossibilities, and says, it shall be done. We have only to look through the scriptures themselves to see many occasions when the impossible was performed. So then, is there any word from the Lord? And I shall know whether it's a word from the Lord, because it's a word that will stand. It's a word that will be performed. We find Job saying, he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And would you remember that any word from the Lord is an eternal word? It's not something that has been arrived at a local committee meeting, if I can use that expression, but it's a word that was settled in eternity. Eternity. And that word can never be altered with all the vagaries and changes in time. And this brings confidence into our hearts. Is there any word from the Lord? Will it be right? Will it be performed? Now, it is important for us to weigh the matter very carefully, because I remember one minister who I knew saying in his pulpit on one occasion, this chapel will be filled with people in 12 months. And there was a young girl in that congregation, and she looked to see this prophecy fulfilled. And at the end of 12 months, she said, that man's not a prophet. I can't stop and listen to him. He doesn't tell the truth. And by that lack of wisdom, she left the chapel. And why? Because a man had said that it was a word from the Lord, and it wasn't. So we need to be very, very careful that the words that are spoken are words from the Lord. And they are certain words. When the Lord was sending forth Moses to lead the people, he said, certainly I will be with thee. Now, I will be with you. With thee is one thing, but to the trembling soul, certainly before it will be another thing. Certainly. Who can dispute this is the word from God? It wasn't the imagination of the mind, so that we can venture with a rather feeble faith, but God says, certainly I will be with thee. Is there any word from the Lord? And God does wonderful things. Thinking of that particular text, I knew a person who was deeply concerned about giving her testimony before the church. I believe she had made application. And the night before she was to go before the church, she had a dream. And there wasn't much to the dream. But as she dreamed, there was a piece of paper that came down to where she was. And as it landed, it opened up. And these words were on it. Certainly, I will be with thee. The paper folded again and went up back from whence it came. But that put strength into that woman. And she was assured that all would be well. Now, maybe some of us have proved the substance of that even in similar circumstances. So is there any word from the Lord? Yes, a word from the Lord is a substantial word. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So therefore, there must be substance in the word for faith to take hold of it. Now, again, the word of the Lord. Oh, we think of one or two remarkable healings that the Lord Jesus did when he was here upon the earth. We read of one man who came with his son, about his son who was great, I think it was his son, who was greatly afflicted. And the Lord said to him, "Thy son liveth, go thy way." And he had about 24 hours' journey. And when he got home, he said, "About what hour did my child begin to amend?" And they said, "About the seventh hour." And then the man knew that that was the very moment when God spoke the word. You see? So is there any word from the Lord? No doubt there was an exercise of faith in that man's heart for 24 hours. And maybe there were the enemies of unbelief saying, you know your child will not be healed. But his faith held when he got home at the very hour. Is there any word from the Lord? "Thy son liveth." And it was so. It came to pass. So this is a way, another way in which God's word is realized as being a true word. And that's indeed must be another point. A true word. We should never get a lying word from God. And there are plenty of lies in the world. Deceptions are multiplied every day. But we should never get a lying word from the Lord. And neither shall we get a lying word in whose mouth the Lord has placed his word. A lying word. Or are we feared? Are we afraid that the word that we are thinking upon is a lying word after all? Well, God is able, in answer to this question, is there any word from the Lord? Is the word that I have, which I'm thinking upon, which I'm holding to, is it a deceiving word? Well, if it is, you can be assured it's not a word from the Lord. Any word from the Lord, it will be a word of truth. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And again, the words will be a living word. And therefore, they will find an echo in a living heart. Are our hearts alive unto God? Has the Spirit of God quickened our hearts? "Thy word quickeneth me, revives me," says the psalmist. A word, any word, any word. It is good in looking at this word, any word from the Lord, just to think about all the aspects that we can look at in regard to the word, any word. Now, the Lord sometimes will speak one word. one word, and sometimes a sentence, sometimes just a phrase. Have you sought God even today for one word? Remember, I do not want to keep introducing experiences of my own. I don't usually do so, but it just comes to mind, so perhaps there's a purpose in it. I was engaged to preach at Hanover Tunbridge Wells some years ago now, and I took one word for my text, and that word was Jedidiah, which is the name that God gave to Solomon, and it means loved of God. And there was a woman came to me after the evening service, and she said, "I was awake praying for you about 3 o'clock this morning, and I said, Lord, if you'll give him one word." Now that was a remarkable request, wasn't it? One word. And so I came up with that particular text. Any word from the Lord. It doesn't say any words. It says any word. And yet you see, any word may also be a sentence. Has that not been precious to many of God's people that we read of in the 41st chapter of Isaiah? "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." When I read these kind of verses, dear friends, I always like to put the emphasis on the word "I." A knot of difference of expression can, so to speak, remove the emphasis from one thing to another. "Fear thou not." But what's going to be the support of your soul? Is it if I say, "For I am with thee"? Or if I should say, "For I am with thee. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Be not dismayed, for I am." Wherever we read the scriptures of truth, and we read "I am," is that not the name of God? Is that not the name of Jehovah? Is not that the name that is above every name, the name that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think? And just to read on in that particular verse, chapter, "Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they shall strive with that strive with thee shall perish." This may take us back indeed to the occasion when God had said, "You'll see all your enemies," that is the Egyptians, "dead upon the seashore." And it came to pass. And is there any word from the Lord? Well, of course, when I look at various descriptions, we might be perhaps more attracted to a comforting word. Have you come this morning? Is there any comforting word? But, you know, dear friends, it's best if we come with, "Is there any word?" Oh, is there any word? Now, sometimes, and I'm not being critical when I put this point forward, there have been some of God's dear people who have a precious promise laid upon their heart, and they have pleaded that promise before God in this kind of context, that the minister might be led to repeat that particular promise during his sermon. And undoubtedly, God has heard those prayers on many occasions. But it isn't always so. I will not go into the circumstances, but there was an occasion where I was going up to the house of God with that kind of idea in my mind. I wanted to do something, to take a certain course, and it had all figured itself out in my own mind that if the minister should mention this particular verse, which I told God to ask him, I asked God to do, that I should feel I could go forward with the matter. And in the afternoon of that day, though a still small voice whispered in my ear, supposing he doesn't say so. Supposing he doesn't say so. And that really set me, so to speak, as we say, into a flat spin. Oh, supposing he doesn't say so. And it threw all my nicely laid plans to the wind. And I had to say this: Lord, speak, whatever it is. And you know, we have to discover this, that God's word is sometimes signalized by a humbling word. When God's servant gave out his text, I didn't need any more. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. So there was not the time. But without any question, is there any word from the Lord? And if I've set the wrong course, if I've asked the Lord for my own gratification, bolstering up my own religion on something that I myself had suggested to God, yet it had to go to the wind. And what a blessing that was. In my case, and maybe you might have had similar instances when it's not been what I will ask God to say, but what he will say to me. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Under these kind of circumstances, is there any word from the Lord? And you will have to say, and I will have to say, there is. Our God has spoken. There is a word from the Lord. And it's been such a different word from what I expected, because instead of elevating me in the pride of my heart, enabling me to throw up the shackles and proceed with what I wanted to do, God said, now get down. Get down on your knees. Now get down and humble yourself before the Almighty. We can often come to a right judgment in respect to the word from the Lord by the effect that it has upon our spirits. We are certain from what the scriptures declare generally, that God's word does not lift up. Satan's word, using the scriptures sometimes, will lift us up. But if we are God's children, oh, how wonderful it is if we should speak the right word. And we feel, and under circumstances, whatever the word is, it's always a loving word. And you can say, when God speaks to you a loving word as well as a living word, that there is a word from the Lord. Because the word he has spoken, it has humbled me, it has pulled me down, it has laid me in the dust, but it's given me a right spirit. We find well-known words in the epistle to the Hebrews in the 12th chapter, where we read, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." And how do you think this will take place in your experience? Sometimes God may speak a word. Perhaps he may simply say, "Be not high-minded, but fear." But on other occasions, God may speak, not without an actual word, but by his action. Now we read here in this chapter, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom is the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." And we come down to this word. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Is there any word from the Lord which has chastened you, which has been very grievous to you, which you couldn't hardly bear it, and yet subsequently it proved that it was a word from the Lord, because it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And so we may take, so to speak, another stance. Is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. We can perhaps stand back and say, that was a word from the Lord. One woman said, I think it was concerning Elijah, I think it was, "The word in thy mouth is, now I know that the word in thy mouth is truth." And how good that is. If by the mercy of God, his ministers are able to preach the preaching that God bids them to preach, not what they think they will preach, so that the same thing can be said. "Now I know that thou art a prophet from the Lord, for the word in thy mouth is truth." So is there any word from the Lord? Yes, a comforting word. Oh, how desirable that is. But even a chastening word may be a comforting word eventually. We shall think how kind God has been that he should have taken us in hand and not let us go along with the wicked and the ungodly. This is the one of the things which distinguished the possessor of grace from the professor which has a name to live and is dead. So then, for any word from the Lord, God's word shall stand. God's word shall stand. Some of God's words are, so to speak, for the moment, whilst other of God's words are for the whole of your life. God says that he will be with you. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we do have to give full weight to the meaning of the words. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If that is true, whatever we may feel, God has not altered his word. There is a word which says, a verse which says, I feel forsaken and alone. I hear the lion roar, and every door is shut but one, but that is mercy's door. But has the Lord forsaken? He will not forsake his people whom he foreknew. We read of the children of Israel going into the wilderness, and many of them fell in the desert because of their unbelief. And so, what are we going to say? The Lord forsook his people. But it is good to read, I think it is in Jeremiah's Lamentations, he will not forsake his people whom he foreknew. Now there is a wonderful chain mentioned in the scriptures with which I'm sure you will be familiar, in the 8th chapter of the Romans. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And this is the connection. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And then, so to speak, we have the close of the parenthesis. What shall we then say to these things? If God before us, who can be against us? So you've got the 28th verse and the 31st verse embodying the things of God which cannot be altered and cannot be annulled under any circumstances. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, and so on. Is there any word from the Lord? This is a foundation word. Now, this is a word which will stay through the ages, which will stand firm throughout your life. And whilst you are saying, what shall we then say to these things? If God before us, who can be against us? What are you thinking about? Are you looking at the circumstances, or are you looking at the God of the circumstances, who is able to declare the end from the beginning? Is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. Maybe we shall continue this afternoon, God willing. Amen.
Morning by singing hymn number 402 to the tune Locket's 173. 402, my soul lies cleaving to the dust. Lord, give me life divine. From vain desires and every lust, turn off these eyes of mine. I need the influence of thy grace to speed me in my way, lest I should loiter.